We're live.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roll 'em If You Got 'em. I am Dakota, and as always, I am joined with by Carl.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome back.
And in today's episode, we're going to start kind of a new series for us. It's going to be what we're going to be referring to as Tactics Talks, essentially. We're going to look at the 40K codexes as they come out, and also go through A Song of Ice and Fire, factions, commanders, that type of stuff. Really just give kind of a high-level overview of what the codexes or armies do, just to give you some idea. We're not going to dive too deep into maybe a lot of the units. It's more like high-level stuff. You know what they're going to do. You're going to have a decent idea. Maybe you decide, hey, I want to play this army or pick this army up, or you're just maybe looking for some more info on them to either play them or if you're playing against them or something like that.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyone who's just listening to the podcast, know that this is on, there's going to be a video on YouTube. We're going to do that with pretty much a lot of the podcasting. And if you listen to the podcast, awesome. Thank you. If you think about it, run over to that YouTube, subscribe is kind of the biggest thing we need right now. We're sort of on the clock with, as far as analytics are concerned, we might put out a video on that sometime just for fun. Huge help. Go over to the YouTube and just, a simple subscription is great. Likes, comments, obviously those go a long way also, and we greatly appreciate each and every single one of them.
Yes. So getting back to it, first codex that we're going to start covering is going to be the Space Marines. They were the first faction, actually second faction. They're the first or second faction actually to get their codex. In 10th edition, it's kind of the, I wouldn't say like the standard, but usually like Marines, they end up having win rates that are about in the middle somewhere. They might have some strong builds, they're going to have some weak builds. If you play 40k, you're going to probably play Space Marines at some point in time. I mean, they're just the average.
Did they drop the same time as Tyranids?
I think they're like a week apart, basically. They might have been the same time. It's one of those things where one might happen than the other.
Yeah, I don't. Pretty close. Basically, first tied with first.
Yeah, basically, it was like Tyranid Space Marines and then Necrons AdMech. And then it's going to be, I think, Dark Angels are next. Their supplement's going to come out. And then, like, Orcs and Custodes or something like that. That's kind of how they've laid it out.
I like the Orcs and Custodes because those are the polar opposites.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they are, the super elite and then the
Green Tides.
The super unelite.
It's not even that they're not elite, it's just they take a lot of bodies. But alright, so into the Space Marines Codex. First thing that we're going to just cover here is kind of like the army rule. This is just general, a rule that the entire army can utilize and you get to use it. For Space Marines, you're probably pretty familiar with this. It's been the same, pretty much the same throughout when the Index came out at the beginning of 10th to the beginning of this Codex. But it's Oath of Moment is the name of it. Essentially, start of your command phase, you select one enemy unit. That unit that you pick, you reroll hits first that unit until your next command phase. It's pretty simple and straightforward. You pick a target, that's your Oath target, you reroll hits against it.
Yes, so anyone with that Oath of Moment ability will reroll when attacking that target.
Yep,
and ranged and melee.
Correct. Yep, and essentially every Space Marine unit has that ability.
At the beginning, it was hits and wounds. And
correct. Yep.
I didn't like that. I was on the receiving end of it all the time. But I was just like, the amount of resources that I would have to put into things to like get like a unit to reroll.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, and I'm like, this dude just rolling everything. I was like, holy shit.
I think the nerf on it was definitely necessary. It just took a lot of time too, and even too with the current Oath of Moment rule, whatever you oath, you're in theory gonna kill anyways, so just doubled up on it. It's just kind of obnoxious because then you get a little bit more efficient. Like, you can almost like one unit shoot at whatever one unit and kill it, and then the rest of your army can just shoot at other stuff.
Right.
Now you got to put a little bit more resources into the one,
into that one Poxwalker that refuses to die.
Right. Yeah.
Should name him.
The second part of it's kind of in the Army Roll section, but one thing with Space Marines, there's the Space Marine chapters, and basically, if an Adeptus Astartes unit has a second faction keyword, you know, a la Ultramarines or Dark Angels or Imperial Fist, something like that, you can't take a unit from another chapter. So no mixing chapters. You can't take Gilliman and the Lion. You can't take Azrael and Kalgar. You can't mix and match. If you pick somebody with Dark Angels, everybody's got to be Dark Angels.
You know, I never realized that was a rule with Dark Angels. It totally makes sense. And now that you're mentioning it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they would totally put something in to, like, keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That had literally never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, because it really, I mean, does it matter too much? It just gets you from doing weird stuff, being like, okay, I'm going to
sure.
Azrael, who might point for point be one of the best Space Marine characters just because he's just generally good and not too expensive, and being like, oh, I'm gonna run him with Black Templars, who probably point for point have the best melee unit in the game. All of a sudden you just can probably build some weird, like, weird strong combos. It's just
mm-hmm.
good.
Sure.
So those are the basic army rule, and then, like, the kind of a secondary rule. Space Marines, so far they have been the most spoiled, I should say, for their detachments.
You said spoiled?
Yeah.
What,
explain a little bit about detachments in 10th edition. Essentially, it's like that secondary pick that you would make.
Like a sub-faction, almost.
Like a sub-faction. Almost, if you play A Song of Ice and Fire and you're listening to us from that, it's almost like picking your commander. Like, yeah, you pick, you know, your faction, and then
sure.
you kind of pick that. It's kind of like
picking. It's a little extra flavor.
It's a little extra flavor. Gives you a little bit more rules specific that all your units.
It's like when you cook grilled chicken, like, you're going to cook it the same, but the seasoning that you might put on it, you know, you get one of them Grill Master, you know, the already pre-mixed ones, like, you might throw a different one on the chicken.
Yep.
This is throwing a little different flavor on the same meal.
Mm-hmm. So, just to go over them, just to kind of talk about the attachments real quick and do just a brief of what they are before we kind of deep dive into each one. The Gladius Task Force, that was the index detachment. It's pretty much the exact same from the index. It's basically like I'll just describe it as the well-rounded detachment. You don't do anything to, like, exceed at one thing specifically. Like, it's just good. Just generally good.
Good at everything, great at nothing.
Pretty much. I mean, it's got a couple big combos. But,
sure.
But it, you know, you give up a little bit to get more, while some of these other detachments are just, like, more of one thing.
Okay.
The next one in the book is the Anvil Siege Force. This is kind of a Gravis armor focused detachment. Not necessarily Gravis, but that's the way they're leaning it. It's supposed to be almost built around, like, this is the Imperial Fist, hence, you know, detachment.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really have anything to do. Oh, with these two, you can take any chapter with all these. So if you're looking through the book and they kind of put pictures of the chapter that it should be around, you don't have to play that chapter. You just pick your chapter and play. But no, Anvil Siege Force, it is the kind of Gravis focused, and it's focused weirdly around standing still.
So, like, a lot of heavy weapons?
Yeah, so we'll get into the rule, because this is the one that we'll dive in on this part. But yeah, it focuses on heavy weapons and standing still.
Okay.
And buffing them up. We'll get into more of it.
Sure.
Then there is the Iron Storm Spearhead. This is kind of that Iron Hands focused one. It's just essentially built around taking vehicle focused list, that type of stuff. It's pretty strong. I would say this is one of the stronger ones. It's pretty straightforward too, because you can just take Redemptors and vehicles and just be tough.
So you're talking, you know, bikes, ATVs, flyers, just all of them?
Not bikes, ATVs, and flyers. Well, flyers too, they can work in it, but bikes and ATVs don't actually have the vehicle keyword. But specifically, like, the dreadnoughts and tanks, and then just kind of general, like, Space Marine good stuff. Like,
sure.
Something that actually is going to look like a vehicle.
Okay.
Then the Firestorm Assault Force, this is more of the Flame or Melta focused one, and it's pretty fast moving, like, infantry dudes, focused around a lot of that, kind of built around that Salamanders chapter. Then there's the Stormlands Task Force. This is just a mounted focus and fast melee. Once we get into it, it's going to be pretty straightforward. Then there is the Vanguard Spearhead. This is a Phobos unit focus type of one. Kind of stealthy, and it's got a lot of movement shenanigans. I'd say that's kind of what it's built on, is it's just, you know, movement.
Right.
And then we got the First Company Task Force. I'm gonna be honest, this is just not the good one. This is just the bad one in the book.
Why are they just bad?
This is one that we'll cover in part two, but it's focused around kind of the, in theory, like the lore-wise First Company units, which are Terminators, Stern Guard veterans, Vanguard vets. But like the units that it's focused around aren't basic, like, that good.
Okay.
And their detachment rule isn't very good at all for something that you'd want from attachment, which theirs is essentially theirs is once per game you get the old oath of moment. So you get full hit and wound rerolls on one target, and that's the detachment rule. Once a game. Huh. So you don't really play with a detachment rule, which your units aren't good enough to make up for not having it.
Yeah, you just get to reroll wounds once a game.
Basically, against one target.
So for a round, you get to reroll wounds.
Yeah. Into one thing. So it's like you got to pick a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. That you're going to have lots of access to.
Yeah, and if you don't have a lot of access to it, you're just like, oh, I'm going to wait. And
yeah.
And the units that it's kind of the most unit specific one.
Okay.
Which just locks out stuff because sure. other units just can't use like the strats and enhancements as well.
It sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not great. When I first heard this one, when they showed the names, I was like, that one's going to be awesome. Like, I can't wait to play that one. And then you see the rules of it and you're like, damn, I'm never going to play that one.
So it wasn't just a case of like you had your hopes too high and that just didn't meet expectations, so it seemed way worse.
I think it could have been a little bit of that, but at the same time, once we get to it in part two, you'll kind of see it all come together to be like, oh, that's a lot of just like corner case stuff.
I'm looking at you, Napoleon movie. Have you watched that yet?
I have not actually.
That's how I feel. I am 2 hours in and I'm like, maybe my expectations were way too high. Right. But I've been grinding through that movie, and like I said, I have a while left.
I'd like to see it. I am a fan of that. But getting into it now, so we're gonna just first cover the Gladius Task Force. Like I said, this is the Index one. It in theory is built around being like that Ultramarines chapter, where it's just flexible. Good to everything. But getting into it, so their detachment rules is at the start of your command phase, you select one combat doctrine. Into the next command phase, that combat doctrine is active, and its effects apply to all Adeptus Astartes units in your army. You can only select each combat doctrine once per battle. You get three of them. Dev doctrine, units are able to shoot in a turn which they advance. You get the tactical doctrine, which is you can fall back and charge, or fall back, shoot, and charge, essentially. And then the assault doctrine is you can declare a charge in a turn which you advanced.
Okay.
So it's just general. Start your command phase. You can pick one of these. You don't have to pick one because there is only three. And then you give your army this role. So you can turn one and be like, whole army, advance and charge, or advance and shoot, or whatever you need. Like I said, pretty straightforward, just kind of.
And you can only pick each of those once per game.
Yep, you can only pick each of them.
Okay.
Yep, you can only pick each one of them each per game. I will preface that there is a strat to let you repick or put a unit in one specifically, even if.
Okay. Tyranids have a Tyranids have very similar. I like almost verbatim for one of their detachments. You pick the one, and then you can go back and pick a second one for a round or something like that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, when I'm describing it as like the all-around good one, like you can see, you essentially get one round of doing what you want to do with whatever units you want to take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can take really like a Blood Angels army and then be like, turn one, advance and charge everything. Awesome. You advance and charged, and I need to fall, and then you go tactical to fall back and charge so you can recharge. and then you can just use Dev Doctrine as you want. Like maybe you have some specific units that you threw in there to go with them.
Sure.
However you want to do it. It's just
sure.
rounded. Getting into the enhancements now, before we get into them too, just there will be a lot of the like kickers, I'll say, on a lot of the things are about being in a specific doctrine. So like you'll get a benefit, and then if you're in the doctrine, you get like bonus benefit.
Okay.
I know that's how a lot of like detachments I've seen, even indexes, you're doing your thing, you get better while doing it if you're in it.
Sure.
So the first one, this is kind of like the melee buff. It's one Space Marine model only. Add one of the attacks and strength characteristics of the melee weapons while you're in the Assault Doctrine. Add two to the strengths, attacks, and strength characteristics. Kind of just a decent general good one. Kind
okay.
of get one character buff up his melee a little bit.
That's pretty reminiscent of some stuff that is in even in Death Guard. It's like uh-huh. you get this bonus if you're within contagion range of an objective mm-hmm. that you've ickied, then you get a little bit better bonus.
Yeah. And even to the, I think the Dark Angels, their supplement's going to come out, which we'll go over. I think they have something very similar where it's like, you get this. If this happens, you get this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are built on that. The next enhancement is Artificer Armor. One Adeptus Astartes model only. The bearer has a save characteristic of 2+ and a feel no pain ability of 5+. It's pretty straightforward. It's kind
sure.
of a defensive thing. I don't know if I've ever actually used this one in the games I've played. I don't think it's that expensive. I didn't put points on these because the points are, they can change over time.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
this
yeah.
one might be like the 10-point one. I think I've maybe have thrown it in a couple times, but I forget that it's there, so it doesn't matter.
I was watching some type of D&D video on YouTube earlier today, and they pronounced it Artificer. And I don't know. Me and anyone I've ever known says Artificer, but they said Artificer, and I was like, shit, have we been saying this wrong the whole time? Like, it wouldn't be the first time. Don't get me wrong.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, this Artificer Armor, it's pretty good. You just put on, like, a captain or lieutenant, give them a 2+. The 5+ feel no pain is pretty good once the attacks get to them. But like,
sure.
like I said, you can only pick 3 of these enhancements for when you're playing anyways. This is usually the one that I leave out, or the Honor Venomet. I shouldn't even say that. I usually only pick one of these, if anything, and kind of put the points elsewhere. And then
yeah.
if I add extra points, I'll pick one. The next one, I would say this one's probably the best one. It is called Fire Discipline. In the index, it was referred to as Bolter Discipline. They updated it because it's not just like bolt guns for whatever reason. So they made it Fire Discipline.
Okay.
But essentially, an Adeptus Astartes model only, while the bearer is leading a unit, ranged weapons equipped by models in that unit have the sustained hits 1 ability. In addition, while this bearer's unit is under the effects of the Devastator Doctrine, each time a model in that unit makes a ranged attack and a successful unmodified hit, a 5+ scores a critical hit.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
So you get basically an extra hit on 6s in the Dev Doctrine, an extra hit on 5s.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strong. It builds into a pretty freaking strong combo for Space Marines.
Yeah, especially if you have like access to like some rapid fire or something. And then you're doubling your dice up.
Yes, or if you have access to lethal hits.
For sure.
Because you the combo, which I'll get into when we get to the units, it's you do lethal hits, sustained hits 1.
Mm-hmm.
So since as a Space Marine, you get to reroll your hits, you just roll everything that isn't a 5 or a 6 when you're in it, and you essentially just try to get as many 5 or 6s, because all of them that all 5s or 6s essentially are a lethal hit, and then you get to roll another dice at the wound stage.
Yeah.
For the sustained, so you basically like double up your attacks.
Yes,
it can be really strong. And then the last one, only Adept of the Codex. At the start of your command phase, if the bearer is on the battlefield, instead of selecting a combat doctrine to be active for your army, you can select the tactical doctrine. If you do, until the start of your next command phase, that combat doctrine is active for the bearer's unit only, even if you have already selected that combat doctrine to be active for your army this battle. Essentially, pretty straightforward. You pick tactical doctrine, and that character's unit or the captain's unit is in it. it's kind of niche, in my opinion. I think tactical, I'm not going to say it's the worst one of these, but it's the most tactical. Like, it's the most niche one that comes up. I don't, like, I use tactical doctrine when it's like, oh, I need to just fall back and charge. Like, yeah, I'll do it. But it's more like, I only have one unit that can fall back and charge.
Right. Like, it's very unlikely that this is applicable to
multiple,
like, half your army at a time. Like, yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I know that it can be good is, say you run like a captain in Terminator armor and like some Deathwing Knights. Your Deathwing Knights just don't die in melee. So you might just want to be like, oh, I'm going to tactical doctrine, fall back, I'll recharge in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. Was like, you would put this on a unit that is going to be there.
Yeah.
For like, it's going to take serious resources to get them off the table. You know that they're going to be there for multiple rounds where the tactical doctrine would still be applicable to the game.
Yep. Okay. All right. So that's basic detachment rule and enhancements. Covering the strats a little bit. Won't dive too much into all these. I'll just kind of give you the overhead view of all of them, just because none of them change from the index. And even one of them you're going to see in every one of these detachments. I'm not going to read it every time. And I'll just cover it now, and that's Armor of Contempt. Essentially, you get to ignore one AP from an incoming attack. It's pretty straightforward. When I think the target declares air attacks, you get to use it. It's a battle tactic, which I'll just, we'll be outlining battle tactics right now, because currently those are the only strats that you can double up on, or that can get what's referred to as vected to make them cost one more. So if you're playing and you hear somebody talk about battle tactics, that. But yeah, Armor Contempt, pretty straightforward. It's the easiest thing to use, and everybody knows about it. Next one, Honor the Chapter, fight phase. Essentially, if you're in the assault, you get lance ability when charging, and if you're in the assault doctrine, you get an extra AP on melee as well. So lance is plus one to wound, so it's plus one to wound, plus one AP in the assault doctrine. Pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
Charging in, do more damage. The next one will be squad tactics, one CP as well. Opponent's movement phase. When an infantry or mounted unit ends within 9 inches, a unit can make a normal move up to D6 or a normal move up to 6 if you're in the tactical doctrine.
Oh, okay.
Little bit of movement shenanigans. You know, you're standing there, they come at you, you jump out of the way, essentially. Kind of more niche, where somebody's like, oh, I need to charge that unit to maybe get on an objective. You move out of that charge range, or you move to where the charge is like 11 inches while you're still on the objective.
Sure.
Because then they got to hit it or miss, and it doesn't matter. Let's see here. Oh, the next one is only in death does duty end, 2 CP. Essentially, fight phase, it's fight on death. So if your model hasn't fought yet, that model gets to, if it dies, fight.
Okay.
Really good in like your opponent's fight phase. So you charge in, you can spend that 2 CP. It's kind of expensive, but you guarantee that your units fight. So you could essentially like 2 CP make a combat not matter. Like, you could charge in, have your whole unit die, and then you swing back and kill their whole unit. The next one is Adaptive Strategy, 1 CP, Command Phase. This is the one that lets you pick one of your units, put it in a combat doctrine, and it's active for them. Counts as active for them. They don't get the benefit of the one that you pick for your army, and you can pick it even if it's already been selected.
Okay.
So it lets you, like, play around putting units in the doctrine you want them in without actually having to pick your army wide one.
Sure, especially if like your opponent is familiar enough with what you're going to be doing to where like, oh, they've used this doctrine, like, I'm cool to go do this thing now.
Yep.
And you're I'm gonna do it again anyways.
Yeah, and it helps you make decisions, because I've used this before too, running just Deathwing Knights that are a melee only unit, and just like, all right, I'm gonna just 1 CP, give them advance and charge round one because they're in advance and charge range. Or I could give them the assault doctrine, so I can do it round one without using it on my whole army. That way, later in the game, if I need to like pull, I don't have CP, I can just be like whole army advance and charge, maybe even just for this one unit.
So I do notice it also says instead of any other combat doctrine. So it would, for that unit, it would replace the combat doctrine.
Correct.
That you already picked. It wouldn't be it wouldn't be an and situation. It would be an or.
You don't get the effects of two. It's one of them or the other.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
So it's pretty good if you just have a melee only unit.
Sure.
And you put them in assault, like they're not going to miss out on the shooting.
Right. Right.
And the last one. This one is a big one as well. It's unmatched fortitude. It's one CP at battle tactic in your shooting phase. Until the end of the phase, ranged weapons equipped by models in your unit have ignores cover ability. So you pick one of your units, it gets ignore cover.
Okay.
If your unit is under the effects of the Devastator Doctrine until the end of the phase, improve the armor penetration characteristic of such weapons by one as well.
Okay.
So this goes back to stack up with that fire discipline strat where you're given sustained hits. You pop on CP, you ignore cover, which ignore cover is kind of like this quasi plus one AP on its own. Because if you have one AP,
sure.
And a person can cover, like yep. They ignore it. But and then in Dev Doctrine, you get that additional one. So all of a sudden you go from maybe AP one base-wise, then you ignore cover, so your opponent isn't ignoring that AP one, and then you get an additional one. So all of a sudden you're like, your AP one weapon's up to AP two, ignore and cover, you know, you're
right.
shooting harder. So that's it for the strats. They're all pretty straightforward. Like I said, I think the only one to me that stands out is the ones that to me that stand out are Adaptive Strategy, Unmatched Fortitude, and Armor of Contempt. I think in every game I use all three of those consistently.
So you could use the Adaptive Strategy to get a unit into the Devastator Doctrine for your Unmatched Fortitude then.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of resources, but in a need-to-happen situation.
It really is, and then we'll kind of now get into some of the key units. This isn't really an all-encompassing list, but it's kind of just the, like, I don't know, you're going to see it. Like, if you don't see this, I mean, it's probably just a different meta. Points have just drastically changed. But getting into just, like, some of them, I'm not going to touch on all these units. But, like, the big combo is you take Aggressors with their Boltstorm Gauntlets and the Apothecary Biologus. So the Apothecary Biologus, you give him the Fire Discipline. So then he himself is giving the unit lethal hits, and then they get sustained hits one. They themselves have... their gauntlets are three attacks apiece, and they're twin linked, so they're rerolling wounds on their own. And they also have these D6 shot grenade launchers.
Okay.
So when you take a 6-man squad that's like 18 attacks that you're rerolling hits against, you can get them up to AP3 one damage, which is pretty good. And then you get full rerolls to wound. So even if you're shooting at a vehicle wounding on fives, I mean, that's 18 shots that
sure.
you're rerolling up.
Sure.
And you're cutting through most armor. And then each of them has a D6 grenade launcher on their back, which ends up averaging like 18 again. That gets sustained hits and lethal hits also at, I think, the high AP. So it's just a lot of shooting that comes out of one unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty strong. In the last balanced data slate, Aggressors did get a point increase.
Sounds like they needed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best shooting units for Space Marines. There's other good shooting units. It's efficient. It's pretty fun because they're actually pretty good in melee too, because they have a Twin Link Power Fist. And then the Apothecary Biologist has an ability when you kill a unit in melee, his OC goes to like 9. So
for how long?
Till the end of the battle.
Oh. What's his AC normally?
His OC normally is
Yeah, did I say AC?
I think you might have said AC.
I feel like I said AC. Like
one or two. I mean, this is what
a Okay.
Yeah, it's like a basic Space Marine character level. And then when you kill a unit in melee, it goes to 9. So it's fun.
That's dope.
I mean, really, too, even in Gladius, there's quite a few units here listed. But really, it's just general good stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff listed here.
Uh-huh.
Hellblasters, Inceptors, Eradicators, Infiltrators, Scouts. The Centurions, both variants are good. Just general Space Marine good stuff. If you look at a unit of Space, like a Space Marine unit, you're like, oh, that unit's pretty good. It'll do well in this detachment.
Right.
Character-wise, Marnius Kalgar, he's an Ultramarine Chapter Master. He's pretty good. Uriel Ventress is pretty good. He's a Ultramarine as well. Dark Angels just generally do well in this one. Black Templars do really well because they have a lot of pretty good melee and some decent shooting. And then really just like your Apothecary Biologist, Captains, Lieutenants, they just do good in this detachment. But really, this detachment encompasses pretty much everything.
Okay.
All right, so that is for Gladius. Next, we're going to do talk about Anvil Siege Force. Like I said, this is that Imperial Fist-themed one, in essentially.
Right, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, lore-wise, this one is aimed at Imperial Fist, but if you want to run it as what the hell ever you want to run it, you run it.
Yeah, and really, too, the Imperial Fist lore-wise, it's because they're, like, they're lore-wise, like, siege defenders. And...
Right, they're, like, the protector. Like, they're, come and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to bring it to you. You come and get it, and then be ready for a fight when you get here.
Yep. So their detachment rule is ranged weapons equipped by Adeptus Astartes models from your army have the heavy ability. So all ranged weapons get heavy. If such a weapon already has that ability and it remains stationary, it also gets +1 to wound.
Okay, that's dope.
So it's pretty good, but the one kicker that's the negative with it is remaining stationary.
Sure.
It's very hard in the game to not move. Because really, if you're like standing out in the open where you can shoot, and your opponent can shoot you back, you're probably going to die a decent amount.
And if you're not moving, like, they're going and doing things, you may be killing them, but they're doing things, and you're not.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's a big thing. That's another thing, too, is why I think it's kind of more the Gravis, because the Gravis units outside of the, like, Centurions and Vehicles are, like, the toughest thing, and I think they have, like, decent amount of their Gravis units have heavy on their guns. So you just naturally kind of go to them.
Sure.
Getting into their enhancements, the first one, it's a Gravis model only, so any character that's in Gravis. The first time the bearer is destroyed, roll 1d6 to the end of the phase on a 2+. Roll 1d6 at the end of the phase on a 2+, set the bearer back up on the battlefield as close as possible to where it was destroyed, not within engagement range of any enemy units, with its full wounds remaining. It's pretty solid. You can pick like the Apothecary Biologist or like a Gravis Captain, throw this on them, send them out on their way, they die, 2+, stand them back up. It's pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
Next one, this is kind of the most niche one, and it sounds cool, but it's just really hard to set up, and it doesn't do a lot for setting up. But Captain model only, once per battle at the start of your shooting phase, you can select one point on the battlefield and place a marker on that point. At the start of your next shooting phase, place another marker on the battlefield within 12 inches of the center of the first marker, then draw a straight line between the center of each of these markers, roll 1d6 for each unit that the line passes over or through. On a 3+, that unit suffers d3 mortal wounds. Both markers are then removed. A lot of words.
Yeah, okay. I'm reading it now, processing it.
It's basically like a once per game setup in orbital bombardment.
Uh-huh.
That goes off on a 3+, and it's only D3 mortals.
At the start of your next shooting phase, so we're looking at next round, okay?
Yep. So it's my turn, I shoot at you, I put a marker down. You do your turn, you move wherever, and then when it gets back to me on my shooting phase, I put my second marker down. So I can adjust it. But you, in theory, could also go, I'm not going to leave any units within 12 of that
mark. Yeah, like I'm just going to get everyone the hell out of Dodge.
But, like, it's almost not necessary to do that because it's only D3
mortals. Only D3 mortals. It's true.
Per unit.
I was thinking about it from my point. I was like, all right, maybe he drops this. Maybe I'm running a couple of Plagueverse crawlers, and they're just sitting back there. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe he drops this, and then, you know, because they have heavy weapons, it, like, forces me to move.
Yeah.
But it's like, they can take D3 mortals. Like, I don't care.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, if that's all that they're taking, or maybe they're not taking much, I was like, okay.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Man, that almost feels like it should be D6.
Yeah, you would think.
Because point-wise, I have a whole round to be like, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah. Didn't want to talk too much points-wise, like I said, because they can nerf points on these, and they could even change them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this one currently... Oh, man, I'm going to the wrong area. I believe current points-wise...
Draw a straight line between the center of each of these. Roll 1d6 for each unit that passes over or through.
This one is 15 okay. points. So it's, like, not that expensive.
Yeah.
But, like...
Once per battle...
I wouldn't take it unless...
So...
I wouldn't take it because even one of these other ones is a little bit better.
Okay.
15.
Now... But, I, you know, the people who write these things and make these things are much smarter than I. But what I think would be awesome is that if you could place this marker every round, and then but you decide to use it or not next round. That way you're kind of messing with your opponent the whole time. You're like, I'm gonna put it over here,
yeah.
And then like next round you can be like, all right, I'll put number two here, and we're gonna do the thing, draw the lines. Or you'd be like, I'm going to just move it over here this round.
Yeah.
I'm going to move it over here this round. It would be a game, you know, like almost like playing chicken.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And the one thing, too, that I'll say about it is I think the other three enhancements, which we'll get into the next two here, I think the other three enhancements are just better enough where if you're picking three, you're not going to pick this one. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know what, like, I'm saying? Like, the first one...
Does this make the list of top three out of the four? And it's like, it's pretty much four. I don't know...
The thing is, it's fun. I mean...
Yeah, it's a cool...
It's fun.
...mechanic. It's a lot of setup for...
Not a lot of payoff.
You know, one-third of them are going to fail...
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to average two mortal wounds.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll caveat it. It's only 15 points.
Yeah. But we're talking about killing, like, probably one model.
Yeah. Yeah. So into the next of the enhancements, Stoic Defender, Adeptus Astartes model only. While the bearer is leading a unit, models in that unit have a Feel No Pain 6+ ability. While they're within range of an ejecta marker you control, and while that unit you control, and while that unit is battle shocked, have the objective control characteristics of models in that unit instead of changing it to zero. So basically, you put this on like a captain, or lieutenant, or whatever, and the one combo I thought of is like a Gravis captain has this. Or an apothecary biologist, they're in like heavy intercessors.
Okay.
They have OC2. They're tough to begin with. They just get a 6+ feel no pain. It's, you know, pretty solid. Or even into like heavy intercessors, something like that. Then to get the kicker for battle shock, essentially you go from OC2 to OC1,
so you're not a goose egg on battle shock.
Correct, and you can still control your objectives.
And that's full time. Yeah, how much is that one?
That one, that's 15 points also.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to point out Fleet Commander and this one, both 15 points. You're going to pick Stoic Defender.
Yeah.
The 6+ Feel No Pain is just good. I mean, I'll give myself 16% chance to ignore any wounds coming in.
Well, I like to look at the sure thing versus the possibility of doing a couple wounds.
Correct, yeah.
Like... I'm gonna take that shirt. That 6+ feel no pain, you're gonna use it. 100% you're gonna use it. You're gonna be glad you had it.
And you get it the entire battle.
Yeah.
So you can,
for sure.
I mean, another combo I thought of was, I think it was like the apothecary in just aggressors, because they're good anyways and they're gonna be on objectives. Like that unit with a 6+ feel no pain, it's gonna be tough to move because they're like T6, 3 wounds apiece, like a 3+ base save. and then you give them a 6 plus feel no pain, that's going to be tough to move. And then if you battle shock it and that you've killed somebody in melee, that apothecary's OC goes from like 9 to like 4 or 5 or something like that. I don't know which way you got to round it, but
I think round down, but
I don't know. I don't know.
Put that one in the comments, people.
Yeah. I mean, so there's just like, it's just basic good. And then the last one, Adeptus Astartes model only. While the bearer is leading a unit, ranged weapons equipped by models in that unit have the Ignores Cover ability. Straightforward.
Yep.
Pretty good. I think this one was more expensive. It's like 20 or 30, but still, I mean, it's just Ignores Cover is fine on a unit.
Yeah. Once again, like, you're going to use it.
Mm-hmm. Then into the strats. I'll say, too, some of these are pretty wordy as well, and I will kind of caveat, there's a couple that are pretty good, but they're 2 CP, which we'll get to. First one, Armor of Contempt. Same thing as before. Next one, 1 CP, Rigid Disciplined, end of fight phase. Your unit can immediately make a fallback move up to 6 inches. Then the restriction on it, when making that move, your unit must end that move either wholly within your deployment zone or within range of an objective marker. Solid. It's a little bit of movement. If you fight, don't kill what you're charging, or you get charged and don't die. Not too bad.
Okay.
The restriction kicker is a little weird, a little wonky, but your units should be around objectives. So,
I think there's a decent chance that you're going to be fighting over that objective that you are attempting to fall back from, but you still have to stay wholly within range of it. So that might kind of block this.
But it's not hard, because you can fall back an inch and a half and stay in a coherency and stay on objective.
Yeah, as long as you got enough space on there for the whole unit to...
Does it even have to be? I don't know if it has to be wholly within range of the objective marker. It does have to be on the.
Unit must end that move either wholly within range of your, or within range of that objective marker. Yeah, I feel like every model has to still be within range of that objective marker.
Which one was this again? Rigid Discipline.
Yes, correct.
It says either wholly within range of your deployment zone or within range of. An objective marker. I think it's just
within. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now that you say it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as one model is on that objective marker, you're good. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. Because I was like, I was like, there's a lot of times when your whole unit's not even on the objective. Like,
yeah. You don't generally put your whole units on objective either. Like, you tow them on and whatever. But I mean, this one's like not bad because you get charged.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You then fall back, and then you stand still, and then you shoot. I mean, that's kind of how it's supposed to, like, combo
right,
up.
Right, right, yeah.
All right, next one, Hail of Vengeance 2 CP, opponent shooting phase. One unit from your army that had one or more of its models destroyed as a result of an attack, as a result of the attacking unit's attacks, your unit can shoot as if it were your shooting phase, but must target only that enemy unit when doing so, and can only do so if that enemy unit is an eligible target. 2 CP shoot back. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's expensive. I wish it was 1 CP. But either way, not bad.
Yeah, I can see why it's 2.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, if it was 1, I feel like it would be getting used every round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, for sure. Next one.
Probably why it's 2.
Well, I mean, the thing too is at 2, it's just like, I'm not going to really consider using it because it's just, it's expensive. I mean, it is. Like, 2 CP isn't cheap. Unless you have like Azrael or a, you know, something to give you that CP outside
sure.
of just regularly getting it. All right, on to the next one. Not one backward step. Your command phase, one unit on objective marker until the end of the turn, double the objective control characteristic of models in your unit, but it must remain stationary this turn. It's okay. You basically have to be on objective. You have to be where you can shoot, because then you're going to turn on your detachment rule, and then you can't move. kind of some hoops you're jumping through there.
Sure.
That's for sure. The next one is no threat too great. Another 2 CP one. It's a battle tactic. This is the one of 3 battle tactics. Your shooting phase until the end of the phase, each time a model in your unit makes a ranged attack that targets a monster or a vehicle, you can re-roll the wound roll. This one is legitimately good.
Yeah.
It's 2 CP though.
Yes, it is. But your whole army can utilize it that round though. No. Just a unit.
You select one unit from.
Yeah, it's one unit.
I didn't actually put that on the slide here. Sorry, but you select one unit. That unit gets to reroll.
Well, you got each time a model in your unit. I skipped over that part. I guess
that's okay.
It's good.
It's good. It's best on like heavy intercessors though, because of just thinking about the units that I'm thinking about. You know, eradicators already get to reroll. A wound roll against monsters and vehicles. I'm pretty sure that's their role. Inceptors have twin linked plasma guns. The aggressors have twin linked. And then the only ones that don't are like heavy intercessors or anything, or even like hell blasters.
Right.
So, like, it's strong, but like, not as many units, I don't think, would be like teeing off on it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you do have, like, dreadnoughts that can use this too, I guess. I don't know. I think they could make it one. It would just make. I think there's a lot of niche in this. This would be one where it's like, we'll just make this strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you get niche the rest of the stuff, whatever. The last one, other battle tactic, your shooting phase. Until the end of the phase, ranged weapons equipped by models in your unit have sustained its one ability. If your unit remains stationary this turn until the end of the phase, each time a model in that unit makes a ranged attack. A successful unmodified hit roll of 5+ scores are critical. Solid.
Yeah, it's nice on a unit that was probably planning to stay stationary anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Just gas them up a little.
Yep. And that one's 1 CP, so that one's pretty good. That's it for the strats. Like I said, in my opinion, there's like a lot of niche going on here, and the ones I do like are kind of expensive. Just kind of my overall thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Into the key units. Now, obviously, kind of everything in a Gravis armor, I think, is going to be good. Most of them have heavy weapons, like I said. There's other units, too, that have heavy weapons. I mean, they're all going to work well. Hellblasters, their guns are heavy. Company heroes will do fine. I listed them on this because you can just put like your characters in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, units with the heavy keyword. And then obviously Imperial Fist characters, because it's kind of their thing. All right. On to the next one. So the last one that we're going to cover is going to be the Iron Storm Spearhead. This one, I'll just preface, this is probably one of the better ones in the whole book, because it's pretty straightforward. The detachment rolls. Once per phase, each Adeptus Astartes unit in your army can reroll one hit roll, one wound roll, one wound roll, or one damage roll made for a model in that unit.
Okay.
So it just works good on, like, few shot units that have big guns, essentially.
Yeah, for sure.
Is what it's, like, leaning into. Yeah, you can use this on intercessors, but over 20 shots, having one of them that's a reroll, it's not as good.
Yeah, like, I mean, 5%, you know?
Yeah. These enhancements are also awesome enhancements. The first one, it's an aura. It's one of the few actual aura things in the game, but it's an aura because characters can't lead vehicles. Tech Marine model only, while friendly, Adeptus Astartes vehicle model is within 6 inches of the bearer. Weapons equipped by that vehicle model have the lethal hits ability.
Okay.
Yeah, yet again, you stand this dude behind two like Redemptor Dreads, and all of a sudden, which he gets a lone op when he's standing next to him, so he can't be targeted, you give him lethal hits.
Sure.
So, like, they're high AP guns, just you reroll the hits to try to get them through without even having to roll a wound roll.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, Stubborn Tenacity. Adeptus Astartes model only. The bearer has a feel no pain 4+ ability.
50%.
Yep, it's pretty good. The other ones I think are just too good to even take that, which is kind of funny to say.
Kind of wild, yeah.
Yeah. Next one, Adept of the Amasa. Tech Marine model only, once per battle round. When a saving throw is failed or for a friendly Adeptus Astartes vehicle model within 6 of the bearer, you can change the damage characteristic of that to 0. So you blank a damage. Mm-hmm. So you come at me with like a Melta gun that's like D6+2, and you roll your damage, and all of a sudden you get full 8 damage. I'm just like, eh.
Yep.
It's going to be 0.
Go ahead and turn that off.
I'm going to blank that to 0 and, yep, and not die.
Sure. Because you know next time they're rolling a 2, so...
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's just gonna keep you alive longer. And then the last one, it's Adeptus Astartes model only. While friendly vehicle is within 6 of the bearer, that vehicle is eligible to shoot, even if it fell back or advanced this turn. That one's really good for actually having fallback, because if you're using like dreadnoughts, you can like send them into stuff. They're not gonna die on that attack back or on like the opponent's turn in theory, so like you would be falling back more.
Mm-hmm.
And even just like advancing to like maybe sprint a guy out ahead or something.
That's oh man, those are all good.
And it's an aura as well, so
yeah, you can put it on one dude and then try to hit.
It's not even one dude, it's like you can have two dudes. So you could have two dreadnoughts within 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You put it on one dude, and then you got two dreadnoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said, these are just all really good, especially when you put them in the context of like vehicles and dreadnoughts and all that type of stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those are nice.
Getting into the strats, yet again, same thing here. Armor Contempt, 1 CP. Next one is Ancient Fury for 1 CP. I don't know why it says no change there. That's a mistake. One Adeptus Astartes Walker model from your army. Until the start of your next command phase, improve your model's move, toughness, leadership, and objective control characteristics by 1. Each time your model makes an attack, add 1 to the hit roll. Basically, this is like add 1 to hit and toughness, mostly. It's fine for OC. But you pay, it's a walker only, so that's essentially dreadnoughts.
Okay.
Power of the Machine Spirit, 1 CP. Your opponent's shooting phase, one of the Adeptus Astartes vehicles from your army that was reduced below half strength as a result of the attacking unit's attacks. You can shoot as if it were shooting phase, but only target the enemy while doing so, and they're eligible. So essentially, like in the last detachment we looked at, it's a shoot back strat for a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, they made 1 CP.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Yeah, it only triggers at the...
If you're below half strength.
The below half strength.
True. It does have that kicker.
That was reduced to below half strength. So, alright, so if you have 12 wounds and you get lowered to 6, you can trigger this.
Yep.
If you get lowered again, can you trigger it again? Next round?
I don't think so, but...
Because it's only for when you cross that threshold of 6.
I will just give you the kicker on it. Tech Marines also heal. I haven't really covered their data sheet, and we're not really jumping into data sheets on this one, but a Tech Marine, they have the ability, in your command phase, you can select one friendly Adeptus Astartes vehicle model within 3 inches of the model. That unit regains up to 3d3 lost wounds. Until the start of your next command phase, each time that vehicle unit makes an attack, add 1 to the hit roll. Each model can only be selected for this ability once per turn. So you get reduced to below half, and a dreadnought is first dread that I'm seeing here as I'm flipping through is the Brutalis dread. It is 12 wounds.
Okay, yeah. So
you get reduced to 6, then you get healed 2, and then you're back up to 8.
And then you get reduced below 6 again, so you hit that threshold again, you can trigger this again.
Yep. And then even Redemptors that are also 12 wounds, they're -1 to incoming damage. So they can, like, do a good job of getting reduced and not dying.
At what point do they become damaged for like the minus one to hit and stuff?
Not until
four wounds.
It's at four. Yep, it's at four. It's one to four. Yeah. So
you'll have a nice little gap there at five and six where you can trigger this, and then the dude who gives the plus one to hit, they're actually getting plus one to hit, and then once they drop below four, now they're just back to normal.
Yep. And they, well, the thing too is they just all basically have like ballistic skill three, weapon skill three. So the plus one to hit isn't even lost when you give it to them just in general. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's pretty good. I'm not saying this is always going to happen, but it can. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Next one, Unbowed Conviction, 1 CP. It's a battle tactic. Command phase, one Adeptus Starter unit from your army that is below its starting strength, so just damaged, until the end of the turn. Your unit can ignore all modifiers to its characteristics, and or to any roll or test made for it, excluding modifiers to saving throws. So, essentially, your damaged dreadnought that's on one wound or mating, you can... 1 CP after they've taken their battle shock test, barring they passed it. 1 CP ignore damaged. I mean, there's all the other things too, like Death Guard. You have the minus one to hit in weapon skill. Like, it would do that as long as they're below starting strength, but it's, you know, just generally good. Just ignore modifiers.
Sure, sure.
Next one here, Mercy is Weakness, 1 CP, your shooting phase or fight phase. One Adeptus Sturdy's unit from your army that has not been selected to shoot or fight this phase until the end of the phase. Each time that model in your unit makes an attack that targets a unit that is below its starting strength, that attack has the sustained hits 1 ability. And when making such attack, if the attacking model is a vehicle, it's a successful unmodified hit roll, a 5 plus scores a critical hit. A little bit more niche on this one, but still not too bad, because you can kind of easily trigger this with some of the models, especially like fight phase, because you move your dreads up. If you're running the plasma cannons, they're only D6 plus one shots, so they aren't going to kill a 10-man just in shooting with their one gun, and then they can reduce you down, charge in a melee, get sustained one. Last one here, and then any phase just after an Adeptus Sturdy's vehicle from your army with the deadly demise ability is destroyed, that Adeptus Sturdy's vehicle model, you can use a stratagem on that model even though it was just destroyed. Don't roll your 1d6 to determine whether mortal wounds are inflicted by your model's deadly demise ability. Instead, mortal wounds are automatically inflicted. So,
I mean, that's awesome, just because it's, like,
auto explode basically.
Yeah. I wish everyone had that.
Yeah.
Or at least I wish Death Guard did. Yeah, because I wish the exploding was more prevalent. I wish you could count on that that kamikaze a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's good and bad, because it's good when you're standing next to enemy models. It's bad when you're next to your own models. But yeah, it can be really good for when you're just sending something in, or maybe they swing on you with like one dude left and you're like, oh, Yahtzee.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Gotcha. I think too, the thing that I would say is the negative is a lot of the Space Marine vehicles are only deadly demise D3. Land Raiders are deadly demise D6, okay. And so are the Repulsors, but like your Dreadnoughts are only D3.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
but like, I don't know, it's still fun and it's still cool.
It's still fun and cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was the last strat. Key units, obviously, it's pretty straightforward. It's Dreadnoughts, Tech Marines, like your Impulsors, which are your transports, because you can start like your Tech Marines in them, hop out, and then all your Gladiator variants. Anything that's a vehicle in general is just going to kind of feast in this detachment. They're all just like, it's just good.
Yeah.
It's like big boy time.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I feel like it does require a little more of a nuanced understanding of your army.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's difficult. It just does seem that there are specific things that need to happen at specific times.
Yeah, for sure. It's not as just like...
I mean, maybe calling it less beginner friendly, I think, than like having one where it's like, if you don't move this guy, or these guys, they shoot better. And it's like, oh, yeah. Like that's simple enough to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to move them, they're not going to shoot as good, you know, like.
Yeah, even too, I would say that the army construction, like, I don't think in too much it's like too complex, because at the end of the day, you end up putting like 7 models on the table.
That's true. That is very nice.
But it's like all dreadnoughts and vehicles, so it's not like the easiest just to like collect, unless you're like, I'm specifically just going to go buy those models.
That's true.
Because it's not like you're not going to get start collecting box with 2 dreadnoughts in it. You'll get one.
Right,
sure.
Right.
If it's the one you want. But no, I think it's fun. I mean, like I said, it's pretty strong right now. I know... I actually didn't include this. The Black Templars are pretty good in this one. And you might think of, they're like a melee faction, but they, for like 5 points or something crazy, can put a multi-melta on every vehicle that they run. Just like a free multi-melta.
Okay.
Or melta gun, something like that, whatever it is. And it's just like... That's why impulsors, I should say, are good. So it's basically like an anti-tank gun that goes, an extra anti-tank gun that goes on every vehicle. So it like automatically triggers that detachment rule. Because like an impulsor just has like some small guns on it. You put the multi-melta, it's like a strength 9 AP4 type of gun. So it's just like, it ends up working. And then you can actually take some decent melee infantry to like back up your dreads and your big boys and stuff like that.
Sure.
But they're pretty strong in it right now. It's not their strongest, but they're good in it.
Okay.
So, and then even Dark Angels, they have some builds in this too, where they take like Azrael, Dreadnoughts, and a Flyer, and they just do some shenanigans. Because Azrael, like I said, he's just generally good if you're just going to pick a character. And like you just do vehicle stuff. And they have the Dark Angels. They have one that gives you like stealth as an ability. So, but no, I mean, in general, yeah, it's straightforward, a little bit more nuanced than the other ones. A little bit more.
That's right.
So that really is kind of the last detachment that we're going to cover in this part one. In part two, we are going to get into, oh man, which ones aren't covered here? The Stormlance, I know, is one of them. The First Company was one of them. The Firestorm Assault. And the other one, I'm just forgetting its name right now. What is the other one? I know you don't know, Carl.
I do not. Vanguard Spearhead. Oh, that's so, what I was about to guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's part tip two of my tongue.
Part two, Firestorm Assault, Stormlance, Vanguard Spearhead, and the First Company Task Force.
Awesome.
Are going to be the next one. So a lot the Space Marines got going on. I think this is going to be the only one that'll be like a two-parter. How many detachments do like Tyranids have right now?
6, I believe.
Yeah. They got a decent amount. I know like AdMech has 5.
Okay.
And I think Necrons have 5 or 6. I think 5. And then the Dark Angels supplement only has 3 in it. But, I mean, Space Marines already have.
Right, right, yeah.
So then Dark Angels players, hey, you get 10 to pick from.
Exactly. Marine player anything gets basically 10 to pick from once all the codexes come out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Carl, you got anything that you want to add in? Any questions regarding it? I know you're not really a Space Marine player, so when you hear a lot of this, it's probably like, what the hell are we talking about?
For sure. Like, when we play, I tell Dakota, I'm like, just do whatever you're doing. Like, it's all foreign to me. I'm going to go to the bathroom and just let me know when you're done. Let me know what defensive saves to roll.
Honestly, I feel like that's – I won't even say that's an uncommon thing. I know I've played some RTTs, and I'm using Space Marines, but I played against Gene Steeler Cults, and I was just like – I have an idea what you do, man, but at the same time, I don't know anything that you do.
Right. So just don't cheat, please. Like,
just tell me as you're doing it.
I'm not going to challenge you on it. So,
and if it sounds too crazy, I'll challenge you. But like, I'm not going to challenge you. You know.
Right. Right.
But so I mean, that's mostly how it goes.
Because we've definitely had those moments where we're like, wait, are you sure? Read that, and it's like, no, this is what it says, and you're like, okay, yeah, I guess that's what it says.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, no, it does say that here, and then you're like, oh. Okay. But yeah, no, so this too, hopefully it helps anybody out there that is listening still. Even if you're not a Space Marine player, you might play against Iron Storm Spearhead and be like, oh hey, those idiots told me a little bit about this and I know just like an extra step more than I would have by not listening. Like if I play Iron Storm Spearhead now against Carl, Carl's gonna go, oh hey, he's got like, you could remember that I have damage ignore, or
I will say that I have never understood Space Marine anything as well as I do at this very moment. This is the most I've ever understood Space Marine stuff. I'm like, oh, like I need these. I need this class right now.
Like, yeah. And that basically when doing these, just help you understand them a little better, just so you know. Just so you know.
Yep. I'll be doing one of these here very soon. I will be looking at Free Folk for A Song of Ice and Fire. I'm pretty excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
As I was putting it together, I was like, this is cool. And then it kind of reminded me of like why, you know, that game and I were once in love. Like,
yeah.
So we got another one of those coming. Once again, if 10% of the people, if you're watching this on YouTube or podcast or whatever, if 10% were to hit that subscribe button, it'd be huge for us. Huge for us. Yeah. We need like 500 plus subscribers in the next 100 days or our YouTube partnership becomes more difficult. So, yep, big thanks. That's all I got.
Yep, yeah, so just keep an eye out. And like I said, our next one of these will probably be on the Free Folk, like Carl said, and then we'll hit Space Marines Part 2, and then we'll get into the Tyranids and kind of go on from there and keep doing these essentially as codexes come out. So, right. Kind of my closing thoughts. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Remember to like and subscribe.
We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.